what he said, given the subject matter, maybe not so bizarre. So I really can't repeat everything from last week just for the sake of the recording, sadly. But should have an interesting day today. I think we're going to wrap it up today. So if you have questions, today's the day to, well, you can hit me up any Thursday on any subject, actually. But if you have questions about spiritual warfare, we talked a lot last week about the battle for our mind, and it is a battle that can be won. God didn't write in his word that, you know, we're to bring every thought into the subjection of Christ. He didn't write that for us to work hard at or have to, you know, beat ourselves up because we fall so short of it. Every one of us falls so short of God's standards, period. This is why we have a mediator. This is why we have our Savior who stands in the gap for us to make up for our shortcomings and to deliver us from these things. So we talked a lot last week about our thought life and how truly the only way to win that battle for your mind is to constantly get yourself back to the basics of the cross of Christ. And as I wherever my thoughts are drifting into anger, or my thoughts are drifting into frustration with landlords, or I, you know, whatever it is, in my or lust, or envy, or whatever, wherever it is that my mind, I know, because I've been renewed, going back and placing my faith right where Jesus did it all for me. The cross of Christ, we refer to it as, is the only remedy to rectify these things. And then we talked a little bit last week about, in James, where it says, resist the devil. And that word implies, is that a strong enough word? That word means it's a process. You don't just resist the devil once and all your problems are solved. I think we all know that. But the promise to the end of that verse, and he will what?
Flee
from you. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel when you start getting into the battle for your thought life and the battle for your mind. Oftentimes, for those of you that may be new to this, or even if you're not, but especially if you're new, if you begin to embark on a journey like this, I really want to put my Christianity in practice. I really want to bring my thoughts into the subjection of Christ. Excuse my language, but all hell can break loose, physically, mentally, all, you know, because this stuff is very, very real. And the very first day that I started this series, I warned you that the spirit world is actually more real than what you and I see in front of us. This is all temporal. But the spirit world lasts forever. This building, 1,000 years from now, will not be here. These tables will not be here 1,000 years from now.
May I be here in 3 years? I don't know.
That's right. So this is a battle that certainly can be won. It's not a battle that you can ever claim permanent victory till we get to heaven. I hope I don't need to explain that more, but other than the fact that it does get easier, you know, when you're pushing through some of these battles for your thought life, it's not a lot of fun at first. And like I said, everything plus the kitchen sink could be thrown at you, because Satan has no need, the demons have no need to mess with those who do not know Christ as Savior. They're already his. It's through people that are Christians, I'm going to say this in context, call themselves Christians or refer themselves Christians, they're the ones whose testimony has to be tarnished. And so he works overtime to try and get us to falter, make mistakes, get off into our flesh, so that other people can point, and, you know, we've all been through it. If you haven't had somebody point their finger and say, you know, you're a hypocrite, or you're this, or you're that, then you're not doing something. Because, you know, it's part of the nature. Men love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So if you haven't had a renewed mind, these demonic forces that are in play have no reason to mess with you at all. And because we do know Christ, and because we're still stuck here, in these, what Paul calls, tents of flesh. We're subjected to a lot of this, but the battle can be won. And there is no other way to win the battle except keeping your faith right where it belongs. I've been through all those seminars where they taught, you know, I've seen six-week seminars on how to put on your armor. And every week it was a different piece of armor. Oh my goodness. Every piece of that armor is Jesus Christ in your life. It was never meant to be made a doctrine out of. And I taught it as a doctrine years ago. So it's all Jesus. It all comes down to Jesus and his shed blood. Okay, so any questions before I move on a little bit? Because today's the last day. We're going to finish up today. Yes, ma'am. Yes, he is. Wise man of the Brotherhood of Compostela. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Okay.
But he's telling that lady she's getting $124,000 in a few days. He's in 14 installments. That she's going to have a romantic encounter that's going to transform her life.
And she's 94 years old. I'm just kidding.
Lady of Clarity has asked me to tell you about the blessings that you are soon going to enjoy.
Well, let me stop you there, Sherman, because that's a great, great example of, I don't know why I would, that's a great example of, you know, we didn't talk a lot about this in week two or week three, whenever it was, but, you know, some of this stuff, some of these palm readers and tarot cards and some of this stuff is real. Some of these fortune tellers or whatever we call them nowadays, you know, they actually are tapped into a spirit. And because they're tapped into a strong spirit, which would be a spirit of delusion, got to understand, I explained this to you once before, but quickly, you know, we discussed those familiar spirits. So there is at least one enemy assigned to you that can certainly communicate with that woman's strong spirit of delusion. And all that spirit has to do is say, oh, well, this is Deborah, and this happened to her when she was 16, and this happened to her, and then the clairvoyant lady, oh, I'm hearing things happen when you were a teenager. Wait, you were 16, and now all of a sudden, you know. So this is why the very first week I tried to make it as clear as I can. As a born-again believer, we need to stay away from all of this nonsense. If it's not in the Word of God, then you got no business even flirting with it. Because I'm telling you, these things are a lot smarter than you and I will ever be. They've been around for thousands of years, and you and I have been around for just a little tiny finite mind. We are no match for the intelligentsia that goes into the evil spirit world. Now, this sounds more like a con for money. Yeah. You know, that $124,000, you know, the lady just told me, what was her name? Lady of Clarity just told me that, you know, you need to send me $240. So that's just the old con game. And we got pastors on TV that call themselves Christians doing the same thing. I think I told you before, real quick, it's a little off the subject, but I grew up in a family, no love. I, honest to goodness, and, you know, I'm not poor, woe is me, but I never once can I recall either my mother or my father saying, I love you. It just wasn't part of our, it wasn't part of our existence. My father was an agnostic or an atheist. My mom had left the Catholic, just wasn't happening. And so when I became a Christian, love was a foreign concept to me, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. God, you know, you got to teach me about love, because I'm a zero in this department. And
I could vouch for it.
I had a feeling you would.
Not after you go to sleep.
So long story short, I wrote this couple pastors on TV, and one of them wrote me back and said for $50 he would give me the answer that I was seeking. You know, I'm like, oh man, you know. The Lord gave me the answer. I was in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, at the corner of Broadway and Hancock. I'll never forget it. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And I knew it was the Lord, and I said, "Yeah, Lord, that's John 3:16. I know that much." I was a brand new Christian. But I need to know about love. And just as, I mean, I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was in my heart. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And I was like, I'm sitting at a red light, and I'm like, "Yes, Lord, I already know John 3:16. I need to know what love is." And God went, "For God so loved the world that he gave his..." He went, "For God so loved the world that he gave," and I heard nothing. Wow, wait a minute. And that's that whole, you know, when you grow up without love, you're by nature, you're going to be a very selfish, narcissistic existence. And that's when I, you know, that put me on the path. But that was totally God. I mean, I just no doubt in my mind that was God. So, anyway, these things are very, very real. There you go. Yeah.
Gotta have the money to get the meat.
Absolutely. A romantic encounter. That's just the thought of that scares me. Okay, so last week I told you a little bit about this, the real deal. How many years ago was 1995? How many years?
21.
Okay. So this was 21 years ago. 17-year-old girl. Told you about her before, demon possessed, and it was the real deal. And we, in my life, you know, we saw that video of that doctor. I don't know if he's possessed, but he certainly is influenced by demons. Christians, to one degree or another, can be influenced by demons. This is what kind of drives. Judy brought up a good example. She realized that her thought process was, I believe you used the word, poison. And so when you allow yourself to be subjected to that poison, you're kind of opening the curtain to allow more of these things to come in. So if you're going to hold on to that anger, you're going to hold on to that resentment, you kind of allow the enemy to have a little bit more of a foothold or a toehold on you. And it's the old theory of the nose of the camel. When you let the nose of the camel in, the rest of the camel's sure to follow. And so we as Christians have to be now, no, I do never will believe, and there are pastors that believe it, but I'll never believe that a demon can be, a Christian can be possessed, but certainly influenced by the, we all are. It's just, you know, so this is why, again, keeping our faith rooted and grounded in Christ and what he did for you on that cross, there's the power, and the power of his resurrection, of course. Those are the things that you just bring to it. And so it's not uncommon for me, even as a pastor, to you know, something, I'll keep thinking over something, and I know it's taking me in a wrong direction. Lord, just rid me of these thoughts. I don't know where they're coming from, but I don't like them, and I know they're not of you. Just rid me of them in Jesus' name. And boom, at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So yes, rebuking demons in the name of Jesus is part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You cannot read the book of Acts and not reach that conclusion. If he's the same yesterday and today and forever, then the same experiences that they had in Acts are the same experiences as Christians that we have today. Two quick stories, and then I'm going to play a CD for you. Missionary friend of mine, he had a vision once. And I don't want to get into it. You know, when we studied the gifts of the Spirit, we talked a little bit about that. But essentially, he said he was in a big, great room. And there was the front door was huge, big oak doors. And he said, the doors in this vision flew open. And he said this thing was 9 feet tall. It had the body of a human, but clawy hands with muscle ripping, face of a bear, just hideous looking thing. And he knew it was demonic, but he was just petrified at the sight. Now this is a vision that he had. I believe him. And so he said this thing started to come at him, and he didn't know what to do. He was so scared. And as this thing got closer and closer, he felt himself getting weaker and weaker to the point where he was laying down on the floor looking up at this 9-foot demonic thing that wanted to kill him. And was just, he said the sounds were just unbelievable. And he said he couldn't even, He couldn't even bring himself. He didn't have enough strength to even to say the name Jesus. But he sort of under his breath whispered, you know, help me, Jesus. And he said, at the name of Jesus, that just that whisper that he didn't even know that he had said, really, this thing grabbed its ears and started writhing back and forth, screaming and hollering. And that gave him strength. And he said he sat up in his vision and he said, in the name of Jesus. And he said this 9-foot thing holding on to its head dropped to its knees. And he said in his vision, now he was standing almost eye to eye because this thing was 9-12 feet tall. So the thing was on its knees and he was standing. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you. And he said that thing just turned into a tornado and went right out the door. I believe him because that's biblical. And although you may not see that when you use the name of Jesus against these things, even though 9 out of 10 times it may not be demonic, but we eliminate these things. So I believe him. These are the kinds of stories that I've heard all over the world. I met a missionary once who, I think, did I tell you the story about the witch doctor that came up to him? Okay. He's a missionary in Africa or somewhere, and the witch doctor comes up to him, and people are getting saved. The whole village is getting saved. And this witch doctor walks up to him and blows this powder in his face and says, by the time the sun rises tomorrow, you'll be dead. And he said, I didn't even think about what I was saying. He said, no, by the time the sun rises, you'll be dead in front of the whole village. Next morning, witch doctor, stone cold dead. Entire village gets saved. They're still serving the Lord to this day, years later. I mean, it's just very, very cool. You may not be too familiar with the Zulu nation in Africa. You've all heard of them, of course. Very Christian tribe. The king, I guarded the king, Boto Sowesi, years and years ago. I don't know if he's still the king. But very, very Christian, all because of this missionary work. So even though this demonic forces work against us, they're no match for the King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. We've read the end of the book. We win. And that's just all there is to it. So I thought, you know, just as a kind of finale of our series today, I thought I would play the tape that I mentioned to you when we had that girl 21 years ago who was absolutely demon-possessed. She's the one who, after she got saved, was visited by that little boy I told you about. Now, if you weren't here, I'm sorry we don't have it on the tape, but that's what we refer to as the beautiful side of evil. And again, when she mentioned the name of Jesus, this thing started screaming. So there's some consistency, and there are certain parameters and certain laws that God has ordained that demons cannot cross over. I don't know that that's going to be true in the years going forward. Now, I'm just formulating my opinions, but right now there are laws. Demons have to have a body. You know, they can't, you know, like in the movies, they can't pick stuff up and throw it over across the room. That's all just Hollywood nonsense. They have to have a body. This is why the demons, when they came to Jesus and they said, are you here to I forget the exact word he used, but before our time, are you here to what was the word? I forget the wording that he used, but then they asked him, you know, send us into the pigs, send us into the swine. Because they have to have a human body, they have to have a live body in order to function. Otherwise, they could be in this room. We'd never know it. They can't really bother us. It's all about Jesus, and so they can't do anything. And so Jesus bids them, their wish was to be in the herd of swine, and we all know the story. The herd of swine goes down the hill, and they all drown themselves. So again, I mean, not that it's funny, but God had the last laugh. Okay, you want to be in the swine? Fine, go in the swine. And then, of course, you know the story. The villagers were more upset that they had lost their income in the swine than the maniac of Gadara who was put in his right mind and his clothes, that they didn't care about that, you know. So at any rate, they have to have a body, yes. I don't think so. I don't think so. That's in God's purview. But I can tell you this, there have certainly been a lot of people that were killed by demon-possessed people. I tell Deborah all the time, nobody dies 1 second before they're supposed to, and she always disagrees with me on that. But I believe that. I believe when it's time to go, you're going to go, whether it's at the hand of this thing or that thing. You know, David Berkowitz is a classic example, Son of Sam. I mean, he'll tell you. He completely demonically driven. The demons were speaking to him through his dog, and everybody makes fun of it, you know, his talking dog and everything. But this stuff is very real. And he was, and his grandmother and his mother dedicated him to Satan when he was born. I mean, all this stuff is very real. So I can't really answer. My guess is in this specific case that I told you about, because I know the guy, it was a vision that God had showed him, and the lesson that he learned was very biblical. We have no strength against these things. We have to count on Christ. We have to invoke the name of Jesus, because we're powerless against these things. And that is exactly what he'd still tell you today, because he had no strength. He just barely was able.
Well, how could they do anything to you? It's a spirit.
Well, that was a vision.
They can't touch you or be up.
Right, but they certainly can use. You saw that pastor getting punched in the nose. I showed you the tape. That was either demon possession or demon influenced, one way or the other. Either way, it certainly was not of God. And he said, well, how can God let that happen? Well, you know, I'm not here to... I've seen just the opposite. I literally saw a demon-possessed guy try and hit a pastor exactly like on that TV. And every time he went, he couldn't do it. He just... And he got so frustrated, he just walked away. And that was at a Christian... I don't know what to call it. It was like a Christian... I want to say carnival. No, it was like a open air concerts. Yeah, revival. Yeah. And he was literally, and you could tell he wasn't trying to pull his punch. He was really trying to punch this pastor. Yes, Gloria.
I would say on the confirmation of your time, God has everybody's time written down. The affirmation of that to me is when you see six or seven people in an accident. So many of them die and the other one don't, you know. So to me, that proves to me that God has your timing and that nobody's going to change it. That's going to be the time you're going.
It's called an appointment in the Bible.
Right.
And it's not one that you can call in and have. There's been incidences where God has granted people more time in the Bible. But, that's between them and God. All right. I want to get to this tape just for your, I don't know, entertainment, I don't know. But, so, this is the same girl. The recording was made inside the room that I think I told you last week. It was a small room, maybe a quarter size of this room. And one of my staff members opened the door. He wanted to come in after we had already started. And just by his reaction, I never saw anything like it. I mean, he told us afterwards it was the most foul-smelling thing, sulfur... rotten eggs, dead carcass. He said it was just putrid and disgusting. And he left the room. None of us smelled any of this. I just happened to have a little hand recorder, and I just pushed record as we started. I'm only going to play a small portion of it, because this was about roughly a 45-minute, maybe longer, I don't even remember, to be honest with you. But it was her, like, just making sure that she sealed the deal with Jesus. And so at one point, you're going to see, you're going to hear, she starts acting like a little baby, and she starts saying, oh, you're hurting me. And you'll hear me very clearly say, I'm not hurting you, or I forget what I said exactly, but it's at that moment that we hear on the tape this demon, and most of you will hear it the first time. This thing in this guttural voice just calls me a liar. Liar. I mean, it's just, you can't get away from it. It's amazing. And so I'll play it several times for you. Because I believe that, you know, I don't believe in this, hocus pocus, mumbo jumbo. If God does a miracle, like he did with my wife's arm one year. As a matter of fact, we just had recent x-rays to confirm the healing. She was supposed to have surgery on her wrist. Same thing, pins and screws. And you could see right on the x-ray where God just totally healed it. No pins, no... she broke it on a Friday and was healed on Sunday. Went back to the doctor on Monday for the surgery and didn't need the surgery because her hand was working just great. So I believe that if God does a true miracle, not one of these, you know, half-baked, oh, we got glitter, we got gold dust coming out of the vents, you know, because some janitor's pumping, oh, praise the Lord, there's gold falling out. I mean, this is silly, and that's exactly what happened to a big church up in Phoenix. They got caught with their janitors, but that's just silly. I believe that you can back it up scientifically. So what we did was we took this tape. A few years later, because back in that day, there was no technology, but as the technology increased, we took the tape, which I have the original of, you're going to hear a copy, and we had it digitally analyzed. And what we did was, I'll pass this around, but what we did was, we asked the sound engineer to what she said, just make us a printout and show us. And his exact words were, I don't know what you have on that tape, but you got something, now please leave. Oh, and by the way, no charge, just get out of here. Go, just go. He was so scared. So here, what I'm showing you here, this middle line is a normal human being's voice. You, me, anybody you know, we're not going to go more than 5 or 10 at the most degrees above or below that normal range. Up here, you can see what we're referring to as the demon, and this was a computer printout. This is very similar, although it's a different type. Because it basically the demon and I are speaking on the same time, it was very hard to distinguish. So a couple of years after this, we had this done, and the computer was able to show us my voice in light blue and another voice around me in dark blue, and this is the demon calling me a liar. And so what little scientific evidence this is, it's more than I had when we first had the tape, because all we had was listening to it. Before I tell you, you know, several times you'll watch my hand go like this. That just simply means I'm telling you when to listen more keenly, and you'll hear this thing, one word, liar. And it's pretty guttural. So in the name of Jesus, we're just going to rebuke anything that might scare us or send us in a different direction. I'll pass that around for you, and I'll play the tape. First off, does anybody object? Because I don't want to, I'm not here to sensationalize or scare anybody, but we've been spending quite a few weeks on this, and the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. What you are about to hear has not been faked or doctored in any way, shape, or form. Both the Old and New Testaments speak of demonic activity. Nowhere in the Bible are we taught that demons have been locked away or put on leave from their function and duties that Jesus described in John 10:10 and elsewhere in the Bible. You are not listening to this to exalt the teacher or myself, but that you may learn as an experienced Christian. The powers of darkness described in the New Testament are very much real and very active today. Because Christ resides in you, Jesus taught us to take authority over spiritual wickedness in high places. And because of Jesus, we are able to exert authority over demonic forces. I am not allowing you to hear this so that you can think I am a better or more powerful Christian than you are. I'm not. This tape was made in 1994 in the presence of myself, a young woman who was demon-possessed, and two seminary students who were studying to be pastors. This particular young woman had been through a plethora of psychiatric and psychological evaluations, all to no avail. When it became apparent that she was in fact demon-possessed, she agreed to allow us to perform what many would call an exorcism. Here is just a small portion of an approximate 2-hour tape being displayed here now to help equip you as a born-again believer for what may come in the future. The first part of the tape that you're going to hear lasts about 60 seconds. At about the 19 or 20 second mark, you will hear this young lady speak like a child and claim that I am hurting her. At this time, we had not laid hands on this woman in accordance with 1 Timothy 5:22. The only hurt she was experiencing was the name of Jesus.
We will play this section of the tape through three separate times. Pay particular attention to when she claims I'm hurting her. At that point, I say, I'm not hurting her. It's when I say, I'm not hurting her, that you will hear a voice in the background calling me a liar. We will play this section of the tape three times. Try and ignore my voice when I say, I'm not hurting her.
Computer generated two distinct yet
parallel voices. The digital computer analysis laid out on this graph my voice saying, "I'm not hurting her," in lighter blue. Then the voice that was recorded under mine, which the computer generated as a darker blue color. Let's listen to the tape two more times, and you can decide for yourself. With you to scare you or alarm you or to sensationalize anything having to do with the ministry of your instructor, pastor, or whomever may be sharing this information with you. Only because we believe as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, you may be better equipped to give an answer to everyone that asks the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. May God richly bless you as you venture out and claim victories for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The information contained in this disc is copywritten and owned by Pastor Steve Aiken. It may not be duplicated, used in part.
So, anybody not hear it? Don't feel bad if you didn't.
Liar.
No, I'm just kidding. Let me just tell you, I've done a few of these since then. Probably two or three, and they all were the real deal. That whole, I was a rookie, and I didn't know better. That whole, what is your reason for being in her? Pfft, never again. I'll never ask that. Don't ask it anymore. People, I've seen other people, pastors, go with Jesus, tell me your name. I don't care what those things' names are. I don't care. So everything's learning, everything. I was just very young, very new at this stuff back in those days. But nowadays, it's like, are you ready to ask Jesus and get rid of these things? And one good thing about God is these things can never stop a person from accepting Christ. They don't have that kind of power. So the last two or three that I've done, that's really the way the conversation. Now, might it take 4 hours to get to that point where the person says, "I want these out. I want Jesus. I fine." Then and I'll lay hands and I'll say, "In the name of Jesus, be gone." Whatever, however I word it, they go. Let's pray. Let's get Jesus accept. Bing, bam, boom. We live happily ever after. To whatever degree we live happily ever after. But now that whole, what is your name? I don't do that. I don't do that anymore. And of course, I was very new at this stuff. So that's the only reason why I asked, what's your purpose for me? Well, who cares? Get out. That's the main thing. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know what happened to the girl?
She's, last I heard, she's doing all right. It's been, I don't know how many years. I haven't had any contact with her, but yeah.
That definitely wasn't her voice.
Oh, no, definitely not. And we didn't hear it in the room. We did not hear that liar until we went back and played the tape just to start studying it. We didn't hear it. We didn't smell the smells. We didn't hear the there might have been more. To be honest with you, after we heard this and had it analyzed, I don't know if the tape is even in existence anymore. I might have it locked away in a safe somewhere, but do I? But I never really listened to the whole 2.5 hours. There might be more on there. I don't care.
That wasn't our voice.
Absolutely not. We didn't hear it. We didn't. When we were in the room, we didn't smell any of the smells, and we didn't hear any of the things. Did you have?
I just wanted to say when you were speaking of you wouldn't have a conversation with the evil, that a long time ago, I heard someone say, "What got Eve into trouble?"
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And once again, you know, I was new and a rookie, and I've since learned I'm a little bit more experienced. But the last two I've done, it's just a matter of having a conversation with the person. As I told you, when that doctor went up and got in that guy's face, I might have started saying, thank you, Jesus. Or would I would have somehow I would have invoked the name of Jesus. One of two things would have happened with that doctor had he approached me like that. He would have either shut down and went away, or he would have gotten much more aggressive. That's been my experience.
I'm just curious. You run into a lot of these people that are demon-possessed?
No.
And how do they know it? I mean, you accept Christ, and there's going to be a change in you.
Over the years, not so much in Green Valley, of course, but over the years in ministry, I've just gotten calls, you know, my nephew's demon-possessed, my aunt's demon-possessed, really? Okay. And then 9 times out of 10, no, they're off their meds, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, you know, it's very rare. Like I said,
not everybody that comes to Christ is demon-possessed.
Nope. But when they're literally, you know, like that doctor. I mean, come on, man. You know, that's just crazy right there. So, good time to end. I hope you enjoyed this segment. I'm not sure what we're going to start next week. I think I have a clue, but I want to make sure I'm hearing from the Lord before I make any announcements. But it'll be good. I think we'll be in this room. And I don't know. You know, it's like, I don't know if this is going to work. I mean, look, we filled up the chairs. Yes, sure.
Before we end with that, you said that as we go forward,